Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a sermon message that was given by Mormon apostle David A. Bednar. It was in the October 2021 General Conference. It was a Saturday afternoon session. He gave a message titled, With the Power of God in Great Glory. And he gets this phrase from 1 Nephi 14:14. Now, what's interesting, he doesn't really even get to 1 Nephi 14:14 until about the middle of his message. But he's going to give a little bit of background as to where he's going in this talk. So he starts off by talking about Moroni's first visit to Joseph Smith. Now, of course, Moroni was the individual that's mentioned in the Book of Mormon who allegedly buried the gold plates that Joseph Smith would translate into the Book of Mormon. So David Bednar says, approximately 3 years after the first vision, this would be when Joseph Smith claimed he was visited by God the Father and Jesus Christ, and he was told that all the churches were wrong, their creeds were an abomination, and their professors were all corrupt. Now, of course, that's the 1838 edition. That's not what Joseph Smith was saying prior to 1838. But anyway, that's not really the focus of his attention right now. But he says, on September 21st, 1823, young Joseph Smith was praying to receive a remission of his sins and to know of his state and standing before God. A personage appeared at his bedside, called Joseph by name, and declared he was a messenger sent from the presence of God and that his name was Moroni. He explained that God had a work for Joseph to do and then instructed him about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Significantly, the Book of Mormon was one of the first topics addressed in Moroni's message.
He goes on and says, the Book of Mormon is another testament of Jesus Christ and the great tool of conversion in the latter days. Our purpose in sharing the gospel is to invite all to come unto Jesus Christ, receive the blessings of the restored gospel, and endure to the end through faith in the Savior. Helping individuals to experience the mighty change of heart and bind themselves to the Lord through sacred covenants and ordinances are the fundamental objectives of preaching the gospel.
Well, first of all, we need to get a context for that word gospel, because if you're going to talk about preaching the gospel, of course, he mentions earlier, he says it's the restored gospel. What is the restored gospel? Of course, this is the understanding of the quote-unquote gospel message through the lens of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It is not really the gospel as we understand it in the New Testament. It's a perverted gospel. And even as Bednar is not hiding, this involves laws and ordinances and covenant keeping and things like that. He goes on to say in his talk that Moroni's introduction of the Book of Mormon to Joseph Smith initiated the work of salvation and exaltation for individuals on this side of the veil in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, Eric, I admit I'm a bit confused by this paragraph because I don't think for a minute that David Bednar, holding the position that he has in the church, is trying to give us the impression that the teaching of exaltation is found in the Book of Mormon. The word exaltation isn't even in the Book of Mormon. It's not that it's not in footnotes. It certainly is mentioned there, but we don't see that word being used in the actual text. If it's not used in the actual text, how can we assume that the people who were writing the Book of Mormon anciently and reading the Book of Mormon anciently had any understanding as to what exaltation is the way it's taught in modern Mormonism today?
I want to hit pause real quick because there might be some people who are not very familiar with LDS doctrine. And when the word exaltation is used, it's equivalent to eternal life. And this is the idea that you will be with your family forever in the next life if you do everything you're supposed to in this life. And that certainly is not taught in the Bible, but we would contend that the Book of Mormon does not teach in what's called exaltation, celestial glory, that you'll have a chance to be as God is today.
Right, and that's what's important when you say to be as God is today. Godhood is absolutely a part of the definition of exaltation. But if you're good enough during this mortal probation, you do everything you're supposed to do, you keep your covenants, and this is basically what Bednar is going to be talking about. Honoring covenants arms us with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. That's his subtitle. If you do all these things, then you're going to receive this godhood. You will be with your family, as Eric has said, but only if your family qualifies as well. If you're the only one in your family that qualifies for exaltation and your wife or your spouse does not, you won't be with that individual. That's the way it works. You all have to be equally righteous. In other words, during this mortal probation, you must have all been participating in what's known as celestial law.
He's going to get into it a little later, but the idea of temples are crucial for Latter-day Saints if they hope to be able to go to the celestial kingdom, because there are certain covenants that they make there, and without the temple, you cannot reach celestial glory. So he will get to that, but before he gets to that, he's going to cite from the Old Testament. And this is what he goes on and says. Continuing his instruction to Joseph, Moroni next quoted from the book of Malachi in the Old Testament with a little variation in the language used in the King James Version. And this is the citation. Behold, I will reveal unto you the priesthood by the hand of Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And there's an ellipsis. And it says, and he shall plant in the hearts of the children the promises made to the fathers, and the hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers. If it were not so, the whole earth would be utterly wasted at his coming.
Well, let's go back a little ways there, because in that citation, it's interesting that he kind of leads us into this by saying that Moroni next quoted from the book of Malachi in the Old Testament with a little variation in the language used in the King James Version. If you look at the King James Version, you do not find the word priesthood there. Now, here's another interesting fact. If you look at the Joseph Smith translation, the translation that Joseph Smith claimed he finished in July of 1833, you do not see the word priesthood there. It says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6 says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You don't see it in the Joseph Smith translation. Eric, if somebody, even an angel, came to you and misquoted a Bible verse, and you were familiar with that Bible verse, would you think that that individual, whether it's an angel or not, is credible?
I wouldn't think so. And when you add in a whole new concept, a whole new word, that you would say, well, let me check that out. Because this is what in the King James, Malachi 1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not in any of the other ancient documents, such as the Bible, but also, supposedly, Joseph Smith, his translation, as you're talking about, comes from ancient sources. It's not found there. In fact, the word priesthood doesn't come until 1838.
Well, not only that, the Book of Mormon, when citing this passage out of Malachi, doesn't include the word priesthood there. According to 3 Nephi 25, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Very similar to the King James, very similar to the Joseph Smith translation. Now, we have three examples here, the King James, Joseph Smith translation, and the Book of Mormon. None of those three includes the word priesthood. But you notice how David Bednar, he leads us in by saying that Moroni is going to quote Malachi, but with a little bit of a twist. Why is Bednar believing that that word priesthood should be in there when we have three examples where it's not there? he has to go to Joseph Smith's 1838 testimony, because now Joseph Smith has had some time to figure this all out and try to be a little bit more consistent with his testimony. But in doing so, he has to throw in the word priesthood, because priesthood becomes a huge part of the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, even though the priesthood, as Latter-day Saints understand it today, is not at all defined in the Book of Mormon. You read the word priesthood throughout the Book of Mormon, it's there, but it doesn't talk about the priesthood in the way the Mormons believe it today.
This is very telling, because if these ancient scriptures don't have that word, and Joseph Smith in his earlier days did not place a huge emphasis on priesthood, well, we can see that because of what the Book of Mormon says. We see that based on what the King James Version of this passage says. And it's not until later that he begins to change some of the ideas. I would have a problem. I mean, Joseph Smith himself said this regarding the Book of Mormon, and it doesn't seem consistent with what we are seeing here. This is found in Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 194. I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone of our religion, and a man would get near to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. But we don't find this priesthood in the Book of Mormon. And for that matter, if he really did translate the Bible, and it's an accurate translation called the Joseph Smith translation or the inspired version, and he translates it and finishes it in 1833, and then 5 years later comes up with a new version, why doesn't he go back and change what he had originally written? Because obviously he did not have the most correct version as cited by David Bednar.
I think that's an excellent point, because Latter-day Saints have referred to the Joseph Smith translation as the inspired version. We know that Joseph Smith did not know ancient languages. He merely opens up a King James Bible and just starts making alterations wherever he sees fit. And as we've mentioned before, he even inserts a verse in Genesis 50 that predicts his own coming on the scene. Now, you would think that looks a little bit suspicious, but this is what Joseph Smith does. But the fact that this is supposed to be inspired, how did this get missed? If that's the way it should be understood, the way Moroni supposedly gave it to Joseph Smith in his 1838 account, and that's when the Joseph Smith history was written, it was in 1838, how did that word priesthood get missed? I can understand them saying, well, it's easy that we can explain in the King James because that's a corrupted text. It was not transmitted accurately. But what do you do when it comes to the Book of Mormon? And what do you do when it comes to the inspired version or the Joseph Smith translation?
Bill, do you think it's not fair that he says with a little variation in the language used in the King James Version? Why didn't he say with a little variation to the language used in the Book of Mormon? The Book of Mormon is true as far as it's translated correctly. The Bible is always the one that's getting punched, and here we go. I mean, the Bible doesn't have it exactly right, so we have to quote something that was not in print until 1838.
And if you want to check out what we're saying, I encourage you, go to 3 Nephi chapter 25, verse 5. This is how it reads, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." No mention of the word priesthood.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.